Yes, so welcome to What We Dhamma, to the weekend retreat with Ajahn Pasenum. Like I said, it's a great pleasure that I'm introduced Ajahn Pasenum sitting to my right. Ajahn has been in Australia a few times since the 1980s, but it's actually the first time Ajahn Pasenum has been to the What and conducting a retreat. Ajahn Pasenum is ordained in 1974. He's been a monk for 38 years, and the first, I think, good 10 years was Pasenum spent time with Ajahn Chah closely before Ajahn Chah, I think, became sick. So Pasenum has also been the abbot of Wat Phanalachan for 15 years before heading off to Northern California in 1997 to help co-abbot. Abhayagiri Monastery with Ajahn Pasenum, with Ajahn Amaro. And Ajahn Amaro has since moved to Amarawati to be the abbot after Lumbo Sumedho retired. So Ajahn Pasenum has been the abbot of Abhayagiri and continue being there. And it's a great pleasure just to have Ajahn Pasenum here for the next few days. We spent the last week together in Thailand going to the meetings at Wat Phanalacha and Wat Nongpopong. And it was a very peaceful, harmonious meeting. We shared lots of ideas and things. And one of the things we shared was also this bug that's going around. So about half the participants were quite sick to varying degrees. Unfortunately, Ajahn Pasenum also is in this process of digesting what he received at Wat Phanalacha. Yes, now we'll hand the mic over to Ajahn. Okay, so Scott, to get started, my young Bante Bap.
Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Yanti silena boga sampada silena nibbuting yanti tasama silam viso dahye. Okay, so those are tools for the retreat. Refuges and precepts. This is a very important foundation in for our practice. And there's some say essential principles in these very common, ordinary. Things that say that Buddhists do, and part of the most ceremony will have this re-establishing of refuges and precepts, whether it's five precepts or eight precepts, and then, of course, the refuges of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha have been something from the time of the Buddha that had been central to the Buddha's dispensation. And to be able to take that simple act of taking refuge and to start to internalize that. The reality is that we're taking refuge all the time, but we take refuge in our moods, our feelings, our fears, our anxieties, our desires, our attachments, and that's what tends to be what our refuge, or our, if you think well, what is refuge, is what we rely on. And if we're relying on you know, particular bias of aversion or desire, then we're always going to end up in a place of discontent and dissatisfaction. So that to be able to make it very conscious that what we want, what we need, is to rely on something more fruitful, more kind of something that brightens the heart, so that these refuges of Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha are help to provide that that basis, that foundation. And in the when we take refuge in the Buddha, there's the historical aspect of the Buddha, but I think probably more importantly for most people, the actual quality of the Buddha is what is a refuge. And in in the Thai language, when the word Buddha is translated, it has three main kind of characteristics. And the one is just Buddha being one who knows, in the sense of knowing, alertness, quality of being able to be self-reflective, to actually be able to know something clearly. It's like in this aspect of awareness, mindfulness, but to actually know something. It's like when you reflect on the discourse that the Buddha gave on foundations of mindfulness, and thinking of the base of the mind, because the Buddha says, when there's a mind of greed, knowing that there's a mind of greed. When there's a mind of non-greed, knowing that there's a mind of non-greed. There's a mind of aversion, knowing that there's a mind of aversion. When there's a mind of non-aversion, knowing that there's a mind of non-aversion. When there's a mind of delusion, knowing that there's a mind of delusion. When there's a mind of non-delusion, knowing that there's a mind of non-delusion. When there's a scattered mind, knowing the mind is scattered. When the mind is concentrated and steady, knowing that it's concentrated and steady. When it's expansive, knowing it's expansive. When it's contracted, knowing it's contracted. When it's liberated, knowing when it's liberated. When it's not liberated, knowing when it's not liberated. So this quality of knowing is the important thing, as opposed to, oh, I've got to get some particular state of mind that will mean that I'm doing the right thing, I'm on the right path, I'm being a good little Buddhist, because we tend to look for affirmations in things external to ourselves or some authority, but what the Buddha is pointing us to is pay attention to the knowing. Pay attention to how you know things. Pay attention to that the quality of knowing. So that is a refuge. As we spend this weekend practicing meditation, doing chores, allow the mind to really be reflective, investigative, and to just to know what you're experiencing. And whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, or whether something that you approve of or you disapprove of, just to be able to know it, and then to allow and then to see what happens. Just really being able to step back into the knowing. the Thai translation is also is the quality of being the one who knows, the awakened one. So that the quality of Buddha has a quality of awakening. And that sense of waking up from our drifting, dreaming, dozy tendencies to actually just really to wake up, and that is a refuge. And you think of if you have a very vivid dream in the nighttime, and you're being chased by somebody, or you're in some sort of a really difficult situation, and in the dream you start kind of planning how you're going to escape, how you're going to deal with the situation, and all of the different scenarios that one can come up with for the correct response to this particular situation. But the simplest response is actually just to wake up, and one realizes that that dream that one is embedded in is causing one sense of agitation. The problem is the dream itself, and so that to really, waking up from the deluded mind, and rather than having a gazillion coping strategies, learning how to wake up. So that the quality of Buddha is one who has awakened. The last quality is one that is gives a connotation of happiness and brightness. The quality of Buddha is, and the characteristic of the Buddha mind is one of brightness, clarity. The word that is actually used in the Thai language has a flower opening, and there's a, you think of when a flower freshly opens, the kind of the intensity of color and the purity of its appearance, and that's a quality of Buddha. So when we take these qualities as a basis for a refuge, we start directing our attention in that way, and reminding ourselves that this is when we sit in meditation, pay attention to in breath and out breath, when we do walking meditation, when we're doing chores or activities, we can be getting caught up in all sorts of proliferations and agitation within the mind, or we can direct the attention to a refuge. We can allow that quality of being, the one who knows, the awakened one, the bright, happy being. It's a choice that we can make. Taking Dhamma as refuge is really taking refuge in the just fundamental truths, that there is a and in the Buddha's when the Buddha pointed to truths, what he's pointing to are sort of characteristics. It's the characteristic of impermanence, change. It's a fundamental truth, and we can start to observe that both on the exterior world around us, or the interior experience within us, we can start to pay attention to the impermanent nature, changing nature, the uncertain nature of experience. And that is always going to be true, and whether we say whether we like it or not is kind of irrelevant. It's you're pointing to, okay, this is a fundamental truth. So that looking at these things that are beyond our personal preference, personal idea, and looking at more universal characteristics. A refuge in Sangha is a refuge in virtue, that quality of being able to rely on an inner virtue, inner goodness, an inner commitment to integrity, and taking that, realizing that we can have that as our refuge, that. Again, we make choices, to use those choices to foster those qualities of virtue and integrity, which, as we see that more clearly, it's a great source of well-being and steadiness. So that these, reflecting on refuge, it's a very important basis of the practice. There's a for those who are, I imagine most people are familiar with the Thai forest tradition, and Ajahn Mun, kind of the grandfather of the Thai forest tradition, actually great grandfather now, it's starting to. Incredibly vigorous practitioner, austere, awesome. Would be an appropriate word to use for Ajahn Mun. One could only hold him in awe at his both the intensity and the results of his practice. And there's a story of that he relates actually of his. Because his commitment to practice and to liberation was very, very strong. And when he completed his practice, his final insight and liberating insight, what he did was just started bowing. He started bowing to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. In terms of enlightened activity and a sense of gratitude and appreciation for the fact that being in the human condition, which is not always wonderful, that there is this refuge. And somebody when you see the pictures of him, there's only a handful of pictures, and they're all incredibly, there's this very austere, gaunt sort of look to them, and intense. But then you realize, that the expression of his awakening was recollecting refuge. I find that very beautiful. So that these are qualities that we can be bringing up into the mind to to as we apply our attention towards the practice, towards its oftentimes there's a very limited range of what we consider practices and sort of methodologies, and the Buddha actually advised and gave a whole range of different practices, and part of it, of course, is mindfulness of breathing and whatnot. But the recollections of the Buddha, recollections of the Dhamma, recollections of the Sangha, these are actual practices that practitioners of old have cultivated. Recollections of generosity, recollections of virtue. These are aspects where one can focus one's attention and allow the mind to brighten and to settle, because that what the mind becomes peaceful when there's a continuity of wholesome mental states, and our it's not just say effort on a technique that's going to allow the mind to become peaceful. It's being able to skillfully encourage the mind to have this continuity of wholesome, skillful, supportive mental states. We have to pay attention. What's the quality of the mind? What's the quality of the heart? So that these refuges play a large role along with the precepts.